Welcome to the Mind Blown Podcast, where curiosity leads and discoveries follow. I'm Melanie Avalon, biohacker, author, and health influencer. And I'm joined by Scott Immens, entrepreneur, health enthusiast, and seeker of the unknown. Together, we're here to take you on a journey to the very edges of science, technology, philosophy, history, and beyond. Did you know in the minute it takes to introduce this podcast, around 6 million Google searches will be conducted, and at the end of 90 minutes, the space station will have orbited completely around Earth? Did you know when you shuffle a deck of cards, chances are that combination has never been created before? Also, according to Einstein's theory of relativity, time doesn't pass at the same speed for everyone, depending on how fast you're moving. Or how about the idea of quantum superposition? That's that particles can actually be two places at once. So is this actually happening right here, right now? One last fun fact that actually inspired the genesis of this show. If you remember Tinkerbell dotting the I in the Walt Disney logo, that never happened. So on that note, get ready for our adventure on today's Mind Blown Podcast. Welcome back, cognitive connoisseurs, synapse surfers, and epiphany enthusiasts to the Mind Blown Podcast. I'm Melanie Avalon. I'm here with Scott Immens. Scott, how are you today?
What's up, Melanie? I'm normally fantastic, but today my Apple iPhone got hacked. So it's been a difficult day, but I'm ready to roll.
We should do, first of all, I'm so sorry. I would act more surprised, but you just told me this. Second of all, we should do an episode on hackers or like something about hacking.
That would be interesting. You know, what's funny is I put on like all this software and VPNs and all the stuff like that's supposed to protect you. And honestly, I feel like it like set up a flag, like, hey, get this guy.
I sometimes wonder if it's all lies. Like, not really.
Yeah, I know what you're saying though.
Kind of like, I feel like, I don't know, not to be conspiratorial, but I feel like if the government, for example, needed to get into my phone, I feel like they could.
Well, I mean, in 2013 with Edward Snowden, if you believe, you know, that he was being anywhere near truthful, they were already recording every United States text and phone call from every citizen in America. So, you know, there's that.
I'm not a Debbie Downer about it. I feel like I'm just practical. Like nothing would surprise me, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to hear something crazy? This is kind of off topic or off podcast, but have you ever listened to the speech by Kennedy right before he was assassinated, where he's like, we do not, you know, keep secrets, or I forget how it starts out, but it's like, we do not believe in secret societies and blah, blah, blah. Remember that speech he made?
I actually was just listening to that speech.
If you listen to the whole speech, he's actually employing the press that, yes, I know we shouldn't do this, but so like if you just listen to the first half, you're like, oh, this guy's for like open free speech. But if you listen to the whole thing, he's actually saying to the press, but there are things that you guys shouldn't print. I'm like, what? I grew up my whole life thinking that was like a fight against the CIA and the internal, you know, societies that keep secrets. And then you listen to the whole thing and it's like he's asking the press to keep secrets.
Oh, I was listening to it in the context of a podcast episode, so I'll have to go actually listen.
Yeah, listen to the entire actual speech, and the first like 5 minutes is like, oh, this is awesome. And then the next 10 minutes, you're like, wait, what? That was mind-blowing.
Well, we definitely need to do a Kennedy episode as well. Big topic.
Oh my God, that one. It's going to take a while.
Yeah.
Now, I also have some personal mind-blowing news. You ready for this?
Yes.
All right. So remember those drones that were flying over Jersey? Like it was all over the news.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my townhome in Pennsylvania is right over the Jersey border. So I went back there because we're moving to the Jersey Shore, as you know. And I went back there to get some stuff and like pack a couple of carloads of things. And my wife was like, the drones are flying in our backyard. I'm like, no, honey, those are planes, because the plane route I've been watching for 5 years go like in and out. So in the back window, the planes go left to right. In the front window, they go right to left because they're landing and taking off from the airport like 90 miles away. So I'm like, no, those are planes. She's like, no, they're drones. I'm like, you're crazy. So she's like, all right, we'll come outside on the deck. So I go outside on the deck and I look up.
Wait, when was this?
This was last week. So I go outside on the deck and I'm thinking to myself, these are planes. She's just, you know, got caught up in this whole, like, you know, thing on online, yada, yada. Melanie, I kid you not, I see a drone flying directly at my house, all right? Unmistakably not a plane. And how do I know that? Okay, my mother's a pilot, my stepfather's a pilot, my uncle is a pilot, and I have taken hours and hours of pilot lessons in night and day. So I understand how plane lights work. It's kind of like boat lights, except they blink, right? You got the green and the red, so that tells you which side of the plane. So when you're approaching, you can see they have one front headlight that's dim, so you don't blind the other pilots. This sucker had two headlights like a car, a giant green light on both ends, and then a big red light in the middle, and was flying directly into our house, then made a 90-degree turn and turned back away from our house, and did this in like sort of like an elliptical pattern. And then there were two others on the sides of that drone doing the same thing, which I have on video, which is probably why my iPhone was hacked, by the way, because I videoed it. I videoed it on my iPhone.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Normally I shoot down, no pun intended, I shouldn't say that. Normally I shoot down your conspiracy theories, but that's interesting.
Isn't it? I've had the same number in the same iPhone for 8 years. I recorded this on Saturday. What's today?
If you get it back and that video's not on it.
Oh, that'll freak me out. Because I've got 7 minutes of these drones going over my house. Multiple drones. And to be clear, I was completely skeptical. I went out thinking this is 100% planes. But they would go over the house about 300 to 400 feet.
How big are they?
They look to be the size of like a small plane or a car. They appear to be like rectangular in shape. But it was night, so I couldn't really get a visual on the body, only the lights. So from the lights and the noise, it appeared to be 400 to 500 feet above. But I know a Cessna can't make a turn, or any small aircraft cannot make those kinds of turns, because it was way too nimble, right? It was way too sharp of a turn. And I was like, you're right, those are drones. I could not believe it.
Wow. So I've seen drones here. I've always just thought that they're, I don't know, somebody's toy or something.
Well, these are clearly not a toy, because they're not like your typical four prop drones. These are like a one prop, because you can hear the prop, which based on what I'm seeing, because the lights aren't flickering, appears to be a back prop driven drone, which is how our current military drones work, with one prop in the back. And then it's just sort of, you know, this hovering sort of thing that takes these really sharp turns. But the drones you're talking about, like the four propelled ones, A, they're really loud. They have a very limited distance and they're very small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I understand that these are like completely different, and not to make this a whole drone episode, but the main concern about, or the confusion and the mystery surrounding it, is because the government was saying they weren't there, like nobody knew whose they were, right?
Yeah. So for several weeks, the government said, we don't know, we don't know, we don't know. And then they said, oh, these are experimental drones conducting research approved by the FAA. They never said what research, they never said what experiments, but they basically said, yeah, they're ours, and they came from, and the FAA approved it, which was weeks. It was weeks later.
A, it's just disconcerting that then that means they either lied in the beginning or didn't know in the beginning and then found out.
I find it hard to believe that the government would not know that the FAA cleared drones to do surveillance over the U.S. skies. If you go and say, what's the United States policy on invasion of skies? We scramble F-18s and F-22s in 8 minutes to take down any unknown aircraft, including a passenger liner that's not broadcasting a signal. It's called the transponder signal. So it just doesn't add up. Somebody knew what they're doing. I don't have a clue. But the fact that I saw them over Pennsylvania, thinking this was ridiculous. I literally thought my wife was crazy.
Why did you think it was ridiculous, though? Because you just thought it was going to be a plane.
I thought it was going to be a plane. I'm like, why? Like, there's no possible reason I can think of that you would be flying drones over Bucks County, Pennsylvania. It's a very rural, it's like where movie The Signs came from. That's Bucks County, PA. Like, so why are there drones flying over Bucks County, PA? I don't know, but they were. And if I ever get my iPhone to work, I have like 9 minutes of video.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Now I'm very, I was already wanting you to get your iPhone back, but now I'm personally invested.
If those videos are gone when it gets back, I'm going to freak out.
You have your phone. It's just, you can't.
My phone is in my physical possession. I just can't. I woke up this morning.
What happens when you try to reset your password?
It goes to an email that the password no longer works to.
An old email of yours?
No, it was relatively new.
Wait. So it goes to an email and the email is also hacked?
Well, it's an encrypted email service that I pay for. And so I can't get into that either.
What do you mean you can't get into that?
Every time I log in, it says wrong password, but I know the password because I have it.
And what happens when you reset the password?
It goes to the phone. So they just keep going back and forth. That's the problem is...
There's a loop between the phone and the email?
Mm-hmm. So I say reset passcode. So then it sends a reset passcode to the email, which I can't get into.
And it's not like an alternate...
That's the weird thing. It's not giving... Because I do have an alternate in there, but it's not giving me that option of the alternate. It's only giving me the phone number or the email. And it's just looping back and forth between those two.
Okay. Well, you better get in there because I got to see this video or I've got to see that the video no longer exists, which would be wild.
Dude, if the video no longer exists, I'm going to freak out. I'm going to throw my iPhone in the garbage. I'm just going to get a whole new phone and a new number. I'm just done. That's it. I'm checking out.
You're going to go Android on us? Please don't. Scott, I don't know if I can.
Android. I'm just going to get a new number and a new phone.
Okay.
I know because I have people in my friend group that are on Android. I'm like, son of a biscuit.
Like when you're trying to do work, especially, and I'm on my computer texting and then I'm doing work stuff with somebody on Android, I have to like go to my phone and like, you know, manually type it. First world problems, but it's not efficient for work.
If I could go to Android without causing that friction, I would, but I know the friction it causes. So yeah, I'm not going there.
The worst part is I don't know what the emojis look like on the Android. So, and emojis are very important to me to communicate my feelings. So it stresses me out because I will like write a text and I'll put like emojis to, you know, communicate my feelings. How do I know that the emoji on the Android is evoking the feeling I want it to evoke? Sometimes I Google it to make sure that the emoji I'm sending will look okay on Android.
So I did not know that the emojis translated different. I did not know that. So if I give a thumbs up, is that a...
They're the same emojis, but it's in the Android style. So it's a different... So it's like a different interpretation. This is what it's like. It's like a French person speaking... It's like a French accent or a German accent or a Scottish accent. So it's like an Android accent.
Right. So you get the gist of it, but there's a slight thing that could twist it.
Yeah. Some of them I've seen before and I'm like, oh, that's not exactly what I'm saying. I can't use that emoji to an Android person in this context.
Yeah. I mean, some of those Android phones are so amazing because some of those cameras, like the Samsung camera, is so much better than the Apple one. But I can't make the switch because of all those things you said, plus, you know, just the general, like learning a whole new system.
Yeah. So, well, thanks for staying in the boat.
I'm going to stay with Apple.
Well, keep us updated. We'll have to update next week.
Listen next week to hear if the videos are still there.
Yes. Do you have a mind-blowing fact to start us off with? Mine actually kind of relates to this sort of stuff. I could start with mine if you like.
Kick it off, Mel.
Okay. I was thinking this could be a whole episode, but there's not really much to it. So I'm going to make it just a mind-blown fact. Have you heard of Acoustic Kitty?
No.
So in the 1960s, there was a project called Acoustic Kitty. It cost about $20 million by the CIA, was a complete fail. And in this project, in an hour-long procedure, a vet implanted a microphone into a cat's ear canal and a small radio transmitter at the base of the skull. And their game plan was to use it to spy on Soviet embassies. And it was, there were problems with distraction, especially the cat's sense of hunger. So they had to address that in another operation. I don't even know what that means. And then the first mission, they were going to eavesdrop on two men in a park outside the Soviet embassy in Washington, D.C. They released the cat. The cat got hit by a car. So that was a fail. But then in 2013, they're like, oh no, it didn't get hit by a car. Sorry. In 2013, they're like, no, it didn't get hit by a car. Actually, it was totally fine. And we took the equipment out, re-sewed it, and the cat lived a long, happy life. So that's the end of the story.
Oh, you know what's so crazy? I actually did know about this.
You did?
I was looking up the CAA heart attack gun. And this cat thing came across. I didn't know. What was it called?
This is a Project Acoustic Kitty.
Acoustic Kitty. So I came across the cat thing. And like, apparently the cats were not compliant like in life. Like, they kind of do their own thing. So they had to give up on the cat thing. But I stumbled across the heart attack gun, which was actually presented in front of Congress in 1975. And it was basically a gun that shot shellfish toxic into its victim, killing the victim by heart attack.
Wow. Yeah. Nothing surprises me. And what does that even mean that they had to address the cat's sense of hunger with an operation? What did they do to this cat to make it not hungry?
Gastric bypass. Yeah.
This poor cat. And then I love that they're like, they say it died. And then later they're like, no, it didn't die. I feel like it died. I feel like they just didn't want to.
I'm pretty sure it died. I'm pretty sure.
I feel like it got hit by that car. It's just sad.
Or hit deliberately by a car. Like, we can't have this, you know, escaping.
Considered a failure and declared to be a total loss. $20 million down the drain.
You know that they also tried to blow up Castro in his cigar by putting a bomb in his cigar?
Oh.
Like a firecracker that they stuffed, like a big giant firecracker they stuffed in the cigar.
Did it not work? I'm guessing.
No, that was also cat failure.
Yeah, so that's my fact about Project Acoustic Kitty.
Okay, so given that I'm very aware of all these crazy things, for me, it's like a 6. But I think for the general population that is completely unaware of like the lengths people go to, like the first time I heard that, that's a 9. That's a solid 9. Like, you attached gear and operated on a cat to spy on people. That's a 9.
I love the rating. A cat? Did they think they were going to control? Like, the cat is like the last animal that is going to do what you want it to do.
I know. I always thought to myself, like, why wouldn't you try like a dog or even a mouse in a maze? Like, you can control a mouse to run a maze.
Like, you would think it'd be a dog. Because they could have found a dog that they could train, you know.
Well, I think the dog was probably not stealthy enough. Like, they needed something stealthy, so they went with the cat.
Yeah. Like, the cat, like, I guess nobody would suspect a cat.
Yeah, like a stray cat wandering by, you don't think much of it. A dog, you're like, well, who's the owner of the dog and why is it here? But like, they could have used, for God's sake, they could have used a mouse or like a bird or, I don't know, any number of other things. But, you know, A for effort.
Yeah, no, for sure. I haven't really thought about that before, about how there's so many stray cats, but not really stray dogs everywhere.
Yeah, listen to our episode from 3 weeks ago and find out how many birds are killed by stray cats. That's mind-blowing. Yeah, there's because stray dogs, like, people are a little more nervous about a dog, you know, like, it bite me. Cats are stealthy. They keep to themselves, you know, so.
Yeah. I wonder how much casting they did for this. How many cats they interviewed. Like, I wonder where this cat came from. I want to know more about this cat.
Oh, God. Well, I have 2 facts for today. One is more light beat, but given this rabbit hole we've gone down, I feel like I should do the more intense fact.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. So there was an experiment conducted by one of the said agencies. I'll leave that to the listeners to Google.
The search for extraterrestrial intelligence?
No, it was a study done on human...
Wouldn't you say SETI?
A study.
Oh, I thought you said one of the SETI industries.
It was a study done by one of these agencies.
Oh, one of these agencies. Okay, got it.
In collaboration with some of the very well-known psychologists and schools of the day. And they would bring a person into a room. And they would say to the person, now, there's a person on the other side of this wall that we believe is not telling us the truth. And the person that was talking to them was in a doctor's...
Is this a torture study?
Yes, basically. So the person that's talking to them is in a physician, you know, garb, stethoscope, white lab coat, etc. And they're saying, now, this is a psychological experiment. We need you to complete it as per guidance, and you'll follow all our instructions. So they would ask the person on the other side of the room that they could hear through a speaker, one-way speaker. They couldn't see them, just hear them. They would ask them a question. And if they didn't get the right answer, the subject was told by the doctor, okay, please press button one. And then the patient would scream in agony because they were being given electric shocks. And so they were told these are electric shocks to stimulate the patient and ensure we're getting the truth. Then they would say, okay, please go to level two. Please go to level three. Now, these people are they're actors on the other side. They're not actual people being electrocuted, just to be clear. They're just actors screaming in, you know, agony. But each time that they would get a button raised, they would scream louder and horrific screams and torture. And then they got to like level seven and they would ask this quote, actor patient question. Now, remember, they're on the other side of this wall. They have no idea that this is fake. They believe that they're electrocuting a patient. Okay. When they got to level seven, after seven, they asked them a question and the patient just didn't respond. There was no response. Like they were dead, basically. And they said, please press button eight. So they pressed eight, no response, just silence. And then they would ask a question again. Please press button nine, no response. Please press button 10, no response. How many people do you think made it all the way to 10, essentially knowing that they were potentially killing this person?
Yeah, I've heard this before. I thought when I read about it, I thought with every person they didn't go that. I thought like one person actually made it that far to the person not responding. But like I know the majority of people got really, really high.
80% made it past the first non-response.
Oh, wow.
8 out of 10 people electrocuted this person to death and then did it again. And 60% made it all the way to 10. 60%. That's crazy.
Yeah. And when was this done again?
In the 60s or the 70s, like late 60s, early 70s. I'd look it up, but I don't have my iPhone. It's in my iPhone facts.
It's really wild.
I mean, I honestly was like, at level four, I'd be like, you know what? I'm not down with this. Like, that person sounds like they're in agony. So this doesn't seem like an ethical study. To go all the way past that point and then to like, they're not even saying anything? Holy crap.
I'm trying to remember what they told. Do you remember what they told the people the purpose was?
It's in the phone, but I vaguely recall it was something to do with getting the truth or accurate answers or something, hidden subconscious answers maybe.
Okay, so I found the details. So it was the Milgram experiment in the 1960s. And so they were assigned the role of a teacher. And then the person on the other side of the wall was the learner. I don't know about the whole doctor thing that you're talking about, but basically the teacher, they were told to increase the electric shocks to the learner whenever the learner answered the question wrong. And the learner was the actor. And they were told it was because it was a study on memory and learning and how does punishment affect learning. And so 65%, 26 out of 40 went all the way to maximum, which was labeled as XXX and presumed to be deadly. And then every single participant went to at least 300 volts, even when the actor would pound on the wall and then go silent. And many of them were visibly distressed. So they were sweating, trembling, biting their lips, laughing nervously, but they still obeyed the authority figure. So the conclusion was that obedience to authority can override personal conscience, especially in institutional or structured settings.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Stanford experiment?
Which one?
It was called the Stanford experiment.
What did they do?
Where they made, it was basically, I think it was like 12 guys, 6 were guards and 6 were prisoners. And the guards very quickly became like, even though they were 12 people who all like knew each other, they knew that they weren't actually guards. They knew this was an experiment.
Oh yeah, I have heard of this one.
And basically the guards become sadistic and then they flip roles and then the prisoners become the guards and they flip roles again and they get even more sadistic. It's there's a documentary on YouTube about it. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's really interesting. Yeah, so okay, so kind of similar to you. So I've read about this study a lot. So just hearing it now, I'm very familiar with it. It's like a 5, but for like, if you haven't heard this before and just the concept, although the concept in general, it's interesting because when I do remember when I first heard it, it actually didn't surprise me that much. Like, it doesn't actually surprise me that much that people put in situations like this with like authority figures and everything that, and if they're being told something different, I can see why people would do things that they do. Not that it makes it right. It doesn't make it right at all. I'll give it like an 8.5.
I can't get over it. I understand, like, maybe because the doctor's there and you think it's a scientifically controlled thing, you would go to, like, you know, hurting them, right? But like, the triple X, like, you're probably killing them point, that's where it loses me. Like, at some point you look at the doctor and you say, no, or the, whatever the authority figure was in the study, right? You say, no, I'm done. Like, this is crazy. Like, 65% making it all the way to max blows my mind. Like, that's where it's not so much that they did the thing, it's that 65% went all the way to like killing the person.
It would be really, or at least making them go, you know, unconscious or something. It'd be really interesting to learn more about like the people that went farther versus not, if they did like follow up studies on them, like personality type studies and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that would be interesting to know, like, what kind of traits did they have, what did they turn out to be like. Yeah, that would be interesting. Probably a little like our last week's episode. They might turn out to be like Lizzie Borden. That's the personality type they have.
I don't think 65% of people, though, are like are that type.
It's crazy. That amount is just crazy. I saw this. I know we're rambling on, but we're going to get to it. We're going to get to the topic of the night, I promise. But I saw this video on TikTok. I don't know if it was real or not, but it was a doctor's waiting office, and every 3 minutes or so, a bell would go off, and everyone in the office would stand up. Of course, they're all actors again, right? And then this actual patient is looking around like, why do we all stand up at this buzzer? And then she just starts doing it, and she does it for 30 straight minutes.
Oh, yeah. Those are really interesting and funny. If everybody else is doing it, people will do it.
Crazy to me.
Even if it makes no sense.
All right. Should we get into it?
First, we have this week's winner of my Avalon X Magnesium 8. So every week we give away a bottle. This is the best magnesium on the market. It will change your life, I promise. It's in glass bottles, has 8 forms of magnesium. It'll help your sleep, your stress, your mood, your digestion, all the things, your muscle recovery. And to enter to win, you can just write a brief review of the show on Apple Podcasts. And this week's winner is... Eat It, Susan. Eat It, Susan. That's the handle. And the subject line is getting even better, exclamation, exclamation. And Eat It, Susan says, so far, this podcast continues to impress. The Dyatlov Pass episode was my new fave. Actually, just has my new fave. So thank you so much, Eat It, Susan. Take a brief picture of your review in Apple Podcasts. And when you do, make sure that you don't accidentally change the stars to 1 star, because that happened last week with somebody. And send that screenshot to contact@mindblownshow.com, and we will send you a bottle of Avalon X Magnesium 8. Hi, friends. If you've been wanting to try my Avalon X Spirulina, or are already obsessed like me and want a portable, travel-friendly version, we now have a mini size available. I am so excited about this. I am obsessed with spirulina because it is one of the most nutrient-dense foods on the planet. In fact, it is so nutrient-dense that NASA worked with it to help support the nutrition of the astronauts in space. It is a powerhouse. We're talking a complete vegan protein where a serving contains 625% of your daily vitamin B12. Yes, vegan B12, over 1,500% of your daily vitamin A, 100% of your hard-to-get vitamin K, and over half of your daily iron. And it's not just that. It also contains potent longevity compounds, things like glutathione, superoxide dismutase, CoQ10, GLA, and so much more. It's almost shocking how incredible spirulina is for your body. So much of our health and longevity involves meeting our nutrient status, and spirulina can help you do that. It supports energy, immunity, even beauty and detox. It took a long time to develop our spirulina because I was obsessive with getting the purest, highest quality spirulina out there. I searched high and low and found the perfect version of spirulina. It comes from the pristine, clean waters of Hawaii, from an extremely environmentally sustainable production facility, and it is purity tested to the max. Not only is it tested by the facility, we third-party tested it for over 70 pesticides, as well as heavy metals and mold. And the new mini version is so cute, so it's an amazing way to try it if you haven't tried it, or if you want to buy a smaller order, or if you want to travel with it, it's the way to go. It comes in beautiful glass bottles to help prevent leaching of plastics into ourselves and the environment. And by the way, it tastes amazing. Yes, I tasted so many different ones. You can get Spirulina, including the large bag and this new mini size, at avalonx.us. Use the coupon code MelanieAvalon to get 10% off. And you can get text updates when you text AvalonX to 877-861-8318. And doing that will get you a one-time 20% off coupon code. You can also get email list updates at avalonx.us/email list. I can't wait for you guys to try this Spirulina. Grab the mini version now. Use the coupon code MelanieAvalon for 10% off at avalonx.us. So, on a lighter topic, sort of-ish, Scott has prepared today's episode, which is, correct me if I'm wrong, but it is basically different states and random cryptic monster type things in each state. We're just going to briefly talk about them. And I think we should take notes. If there's some that sound really interesting, we should make a plan to do a whole episode on some of them.
There are a couple, I think, that we're going to get some fan requests for. But in general, yep, we're going to go through a list of cryptids by state, region, and country. Really, it's just like North America, South America. But it's very interesting to see these different names and all these different cryptids that are reported fairly regularly. So some are cryptids and some are kind of lore, and we're going to go through them. But yeah, well, I'd love to see if the audience has like, hey, I'd like to hear more about this lore or this cryptid.
All right. So do you have it by state or just by country?
I have it by state and by country and by region and then class.
Should we just do states of the U.S.?
I'm going to start with Alabama.
Okay. Can I guess?
Yeah.
Wait, I don't think I'll know any of these. Give me a hint.
It's called the White Fang. Not thing. The Alabama White Fang.
The White Thing is what it's called?
Fang. But thing. They're saying thing, but with the Alabama accent. It's Alabama White Thing.
Okay. Is it a little white furry critter?
Not little. 8 feet tall.
8 foot tall furry critter that's white? Is it a white Bigfoot?
It's essentially a white Bigfoot.
I guessed. Sort of. You led me there, but.
The Alabama White Thing is essentially a giant white Bigfoot that has been seen. Up until this day, there are reports from 1940 all the way to 2022 on the Alabama White Thing.
How did I miss that growing up in the South?
Here's the thing, especially about Southerners and even Northeasterners, they don't talk about it. So are you familiar with skinwalkers?
Well, I've heard of Skinwalker Ranch.
So for the audience that's not familiar with skinwalkers, they are said to be demonic witches from Indian tribes that can transform themselves into various shapes, particularly wolves.
Like shapeshifters?
Shapeshifters is a great way to say it. But they imbue the powers of these animals, and so they are able to both physically and metaphysically, through curses, torture people in this form. They, Native Americans, will not say the word skinwalker out loud. For the most part, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to say it because they believe by speaking of it, it will.
Like Voldemort?
Exactly. The name that cannot be spoken. Bingo. Yep. So I think a lot of these cryptids are things that are known within the area, but are not reported because people get antsy about, like, they don't want their name out there. They don't want to be ridiculed. They think by talking about it, it just brings more grief on them.
Alabama.
The Alabama White Thing.
Next state?
In Arizona, they have these things called stick Indians. Have you heard of that?
Stick Indians? No.
So these are considered malevolent spirits that show up on the shadows of various desert landscapes. So let's say you're like in a portion of the Grand Canyon or around the Grand Canyon. You might see this massive tall figure, this shadow that looks like a Native American walking, and you may hear voices in your head as it passes by. These stick Indians are said to be like a bad omen, like whatever you're doing. Let's say you're going for gold or you're hiking on a trail, like
turn around.
Yeah, turn around, go home, and get in bed. Because nothing past the Stick Indians is going to be good.
Stick in, okay, that's interesting. So they're a shadow.
Yeah, the way that appears for most people is a shadow or a dark mass, but in the shape of a Native American, basically like, you know, lightly clothed, maybe a bow and arrow, maybe a spear. But yeah, and they see those sort of on the rocks, but they never see the actual image, and nothing's in color, just black and white.
It's like Peter Pan and his shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I like that one. That one's creepy.
This is my favorite two state cryptids. The Michigan Dogman and the Louisiana Lugaroo.
Okay, wait. The Michigan Dogman?
The Michigan Dogman and the Louisiana Lugaroo.
Why are you lumping them together? Are they related?
Well, because they're the same creature with very different names.
Mm, so what's it called in Louisiana?
Lugaroo.
Can you say things without an accent?
Which is French / Louisianan for werewolf.
Oh, so Dogman is a werewolf, so they're both werewolves?
Yes, but they don't look like the werewolf you see on TV. They look more like Anubis, the Egyptian god.
Oh.
So instead of like a werewolf where you have this very pointed snout and this giant sort of like...
Like a wolf.
Yeah, like a wolf look, right? It looks more like an Anubis thing, right? Like a Doberman Pinscher with really tall, straight, pointy ears. In both the Michigan Dogman accounts and the Lugaroo accounts in Louisiana.
Oh, that looks really scary. Oh, they look scary. Ooh, scary, scary. I looked up Michigan Dogman. I'm not a fan. This thing is creepy.
So unlike Sasquatch, where people have encounters, or Bigfoot, where they have encounters that are sort of benign, these encounters with the Lugaroo or the Michigan Dogman are both physically and psychologically tormenting to the victims. So most victims describe it as saying, and I quote from dozens of audio listens to their actual accounts, it was like a demon looking through my soul.
Okay, so out of all the different creatures we've talked about, this one might be the scariest looking. This one is not friendly looking.
Of everything we've talked about and every creature we've talked about, this is the one I would not want to ever meet.
Yeah, I'm not. Wait, what is the Louisiana one called?
Lugaroo. It's probably spelled like Lugaroo, but it's Lugaroo.
Rugaroo.
Well, it said Rugaroo, but there's an L in front of the R. Just when you pronounce it, it's Rugaroo. Hey, that's a Rugaroo.
And pictures come up. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I don't... This one, I would rather not. No, that's scary. I'm surprised this is not a movie yet.
There was a movie called The Beast of Bray Road in the 70s, which was very famous at the time, but it didn't specify like Dogman. It sort of never told you exactly what it was, but implied it was a Dogman. That was in Wisconsin.
Okay. I think this one's my favorite so far.
My favorite, but also the most terrifying. Like, so many of the accounts also include, especially the Michigan Dogman, following people back to their homes. Many encounters would happen. They'd think they were through it. They'd get home. 2 days later, this thing is like at their doorstep, knocking on the windows, and then, quote, giving them an evil grin with too many teeth to count.
That got even more scary. Okay.
Yeah. Could you imagine, like, you see it on the road, you encounter this thing, you take off, and then like 2 days later, it shows up at your window grinning at you?
Yeah, that's really terrifying. It's like the trope in the horror movies where you can never escape the thing. Like the thing, whatever the thing is.
You can't escape, yeah.
Can't escape it. Oh, so upsetting.
So this might terrify you even more, but we'll see. Now this is my second most terrifying thing. Only because it's more lore than it is sort of accounts, right? So in the 90s, the first description of these things, which are called black-eyed children. Have you heard of these?
No.
Okay. Black-eyed children are exactly what I'm saying. They're kids with black eyes, but they're dressed inappropriately for the time. So in the 90s, the first account was this guy sitting in his car, writing out some checks. I know no one knows what a check is, but in the 90s, that was a thing.
I know what a check is.
Well, you might, but some people may not.
I still write checks occasionally.
So he's writing a check to the electric company in his car in front of the movie theater. And these two kids come up in hooded sweatshirts, looking between ages 8 and 6 or 7 and 5. And they say, "Hey, mister, can you give us a lift home? We want to go see the movie, but we forgot our money at home." He looks at them and he's like feeling compelled to open the door and let these kids in, but something's off. So then he kind of shakes his head to kind of like stable himself and looks over at the movie theater times. And the movie that these kids want to see is already 30 minutes into the movie. So by the time he drives them home, gets the money, gets back, it's going to be like 95% over, right? So he's like, "Well, that's weird." When he looks back at the kids, he looks into the older one's eyes and they're pitch black. And his teeth have turned into normal teeth, into like these jagged vampire fangs.
And this happens multiple times? Other people encounter these kids?
That was the first event.
But what about, you said they're not dressed. How are they dressed?
Interestingly, they're dressed fashionably for like the 1950s to the 1920s.
But they're wearing a hoodie?
In this case, they're wearing a hoodie, but the hoodie sweatshirt wasn't like a hoodie sweatshirt you would see today. It was a hooded like garb, right? And then the pants were more like overalls, right, that you would see from like the 1940s. And the shoes were like bowling shoes, right? They weren't like Nikes. Like basically like everything was off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And these accounts start to spread, which they call creepypasta. It's like a thing that happens on the internet, right? So was this account in the 90s real and then other people saw it and piled on? Or was this just sort of some guy putting out stuff and then people piled on? Who knows? But there are multiple other really interesting cases where the kids would show up at people's doors, quote, dressed inappropriately with black eyes, begging to use the telephone to call their mother. Always the same ages, between like 12 and like 7, right? And one couple let them into the house, and then both of them died of cancer 2 years later.
Oh, wow. So don't let the kids in.
If black-eyed kids knock on your door, call the cops or get a shotgun, but don't let them in.
Not to shoot them, but
to scare them off. Yeah. We're scaring the... Never shoot a kid. Jesus, please.
We got to clarify.
Good God. But these black-eyed kids are, as described by these accounts, soulless demons that can read your thoughts. And here are a couple of other things that freak me out. So, for example, when some of these other accounts occurred, people had thought to go get a weapon, and the kids would, from telepathy, say into their brains, to the victim's brain, "You don't need to get that weapon. We're not armed. We're just two innocent children looking for..." Like, they would talk to them through telepathy, and they knew what they were going to do. Like, so let's say they were going to call the cops. They would get a message. "Don't call the police. That's not going to help." Like, so they would get these creepy voice messages in their brain.
That's creepy.
Now, the only reason that's not number one is because I think that's more lore than truth, whereas the Michigan Dogman and the Rougarou, those have a lot more sort of historical reference. And
the Michigan Dogman just looks scarier too. The kids look scary. I looked them up, but the Michigan Dogman, yeah, really scary.
Scary. There's a podcast called The Dogman Encounters. If you want to check it out, that's all they do is Dogman Encounters. And almost every single person says that it is a demonic entity. And there's this one woman who, like, she was really tough. She lived on her own in a farm in Indiana. She had 3 sons. She grew up with 6 brothers. Like, this woman was tough, right? She goes outside with an AR-10 because her dog had been mutilated and it was like dying in front of her. She goes outside. She looks this thing in the eyes and she said, "I couldn't pull the trigger because I was so terrified. I couldn't shoot it."
Unfortunate situation to be in for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, friends, I have some mind-blowing and scary facts about your skincare and makeup. Did you know that there's essentially no regulation of skincare and makeup in the US, and that most skincare and makeup products are high in endocrine disruptors, which mess with your hormones? These are compounds which are linked to hormonal disruption, thyroid issues, fertility issues, autoimmune conditions, and even cancer. And they are rampant in our skincare and makeup. That's right. When you're putting on that skincare and makeup to supposedly support your skin and help it look better, you actually could be doing damage to your skin and your body and your health. It is a massive problem today. And ladies, if you're thinking of having children, these compounds actually pass through the placenta into the newborn, setting up our children with a toxic burden from birth. And these compounds can last in our system for years and years. In one study testing conventional lipsticks, for example, most were found to be high in lead. And the half-life of lead is up to 30 years. That means when you put on some conventional lipstick, 30 years later, maybe half of that lead has left your bones. There's also a legal loophole from the 1960s where companies can put whatever they want in products and don't have to tell you what it is. They just put it under the label fragrance. This is why safe skincare and makeup is so important to me, and I am so passionate about a company called Crunchy. Their standards are impeccable. Crunchy products contain no toxic ingredients, which they define as any ingredient known to cause harm or health hazard based on available ingredient data and research. Each ingredient actually undergoes a 30-step screening criteria for safety. All the products are gluten-free, with third-party lab testing comparable to food standards. A ton of their products are non-GMO, just look for the badge on their website, and all of their products are vegan, except for their lip oil, which contains organic beeswax from humanely sourced regenerative beekeeping. All of their products are also Leaping Bunny certified, cruelty-free, with no animal testing, and made in the USA, with the exception of wooden pencils and accessories, which are made in American-owned factories in Germany with extremely high social, ethical, and environmental standards. And they use sustainable and environmentally conscious packaging with no plastic for primary packaging. Their products are also incredible. They make, hands down, the best mascara I have ever tried. Their Golden Light Multi-Peptide Facial Serum will make your skin glow. They also have an incredible daylight facial cream and nightlight facial cream, and an awesome makeup cleansing balm. You can check out their foundation as well, and their incredible sunscreen products. If you want safe sunscreen, you've got to try Crunchy. You can shop with me at crunchy.com/Melanie Avalon. That's crunchy.com/Melanie Avalon. And new customers can use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 to get 10% off eligible orders. New customers with me will also receive a gift from me after your first purchase. So again, for the ultimate in safe skincare and beauty, go to crunchy.com/Melanie Avalon and use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 for 10% off, as well as a free gift from me. For all the latest discounts, specials, and announcements from me in the world of safe skincare and clean beauty, definitely get on my email list. That's at melanieavalon.com/cleanbeauty. For all the latest text updates, just text skincare, one word, to 877-861-8318. That's the word skincare to 877-861-8318.
On to Massachusetts.
Massachusetts? Is this the Mothman? Where's the Mothman?
I'll go back to the Mothman, but it originated in West Virginia.
West Virginia. Oh, okay.
West Virginia, yes.
Okay, what's Massachusetts?
The Puck Wudgie.
The what?
the Puck Wudgie. So Puck, W-A, Wudgie, the Puck Wudgie.
Okay.
This goes back to Native American history and proceeds through this day into the Bridgewater Triangle of Massachusetts. It was the Wampanoag tribe that mostly encountered the Puck Wudgie, which were shape-shifting demons, which could either help you or really hurt you. But mainly they wanted to take whatever you had. They wanted to take your loosh, your soul, your energy, right? And the Puck Wudgie usually appeared in forms that looked like small gray people with porcupine spikes on their back. They could be in numerous different forms. And they're also seen beyond Massachusetts, but Massachusetts is sort of like where they kind of grew their prominence from. Some of the accounts with Puck Wudgie include both altering of time and space, meaning like you'd be in one area or one time and find yourself in another place at another time. Or you would find yourself like in the middle of the forest and have no idea how you got there. So the Puck Wudgie are not to be messed with. And the thing that they do most often is sing songs to attract people into the woods. So they're undiscernible songs in an unknown language. that you would follow into the woods, and that's where they get you.
So turn back when you see the Indian shadows and don't follow the songs into the woods.
Or a crying baby. Because both Sasquatch and these little Pukwudgies do the crying baby call.
This is the problem. We can't officially say don't follow the crying baby because you probably should look for the crying baby in most cases.
Assuming there's a rationale to follow that voice, yes, you should. But if you're like in the middle of 28 acres of absolute wilderness, call the cops first.
Okay, safe. Yeah, good bet.
Get some backup.
Okay.
So moving into, I'm going to just do one out of the U.S. because it's interesting. It's called the Ashgond, and that's in Venezuela. And it is a creature that can turn itself into a human and or infect a human, and it feeds on human flesh and human blood primarily. So it's sort of like the vampire of Venezuela. But the scary thing about it is it can look like a nice neighborly person, but yet in the evening convert itself into this terrifying superhuman-like vampire thing.
Well, that is unfortunate. The thing about vampires is even though they suck your blood, I feel like they're like the least scary. Maybe because they're so attractive.
They've used their glimmer on you, Melanie.
You know, they're the ones I want to meet up with.
You know what's funny, though? If you watch the original movie about Nosferatu, he is a hideous-looking creature.
Oh, yeah. He's scary, man. That's a scary movie. It scared me. And it's, like, silent. It's like a silent film.
But somehow Dracula became this sexy, avant-garde, rich, sophisticated guy, you know?
Yeah, he's not that sexy in that movie. I saw that on the big screen because I went to film school, so we had to watch all the stuff. And we got to watch, like, original prints on the big screen.
Did you watch the two movies about vampires and werewolves with, I've got to forget her name, but you might know it. It was Underworld 2, where she's, like, half vamp.
Oh, that like, action one?
Yeah, she's, like, half vampire, half werewolf.
Did I watch that? I don't remember. I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, I was into that. I love that movie. The audience is like, yeah, no, that was no good, Scott. But
fun fact, I was reading Twilight when nobody was reading it. And I was like, you just wait.
I can't believe how big Twilight became, but having gotten hooked into that genre, I get it, right? But I've never really watched an entire Twilight movie.
Oh, we love Twilight in my family. And my dad loves Twilight. He like watches them.
All right. If you know me, so which, if I were to start with one movie, which should I pick?
Scott, you can't watch them out of order. They go in order. It's not one that you can just bounce around.
All right. So what's the name of the first one? Just Twilight?
Twilight. Yeah.
What was the name of that? What was the name of that HBO series where Sookie, who was like always hunted by vampires?
I never watched any of the vampire like HBO series.
All right, audience, if you're out there, email us. What was the name of that series with Sookie, who was in like vampire country in Louisiana?
Do you know about my first car? What it was and why?
I think you've told me, but I forget. So tell me.
My first like real car, you know, like my car. My dad picked it out and he found it because it was, so in Twilight, Edward, the vampire, is very concerned with Bella, the human's safety. So he drives a Volvo, a silver Volvo. It's like a thing in the book. So when the movie came out, Volvo made a silver Volvo just for the movie. So it was like cool. It was a hatchback. We ordered like the last one in the country that was pre-made that matched the specs exactly of the movie.
That is awesome.
We went and picked it up in Florida. He like found it. He's like, there's one in Florida that matches the movie exactly if you want to go get that. And I was like, yes.
My neighbor was the vice president of marketing at Volvo. And he was like, I think I want to like make the Volvo mode like more sporty. And I looked at him and I said, dude, the Volvo is always going to be a safety car. So talk about the safety and then that it's sporty. Don't say it's sporty and safe. Safe and sporty. Yeah, his campaign didn't last long.
That's funny. Yeah, so obviously the safety for the movie, but then they tried to make it, you know, kind of like a cool Volvo. And it, I think it did pretty well.
Actually, Volvos nowadays are actually both, I think, really safe and sporty. I'm a big Volvo fan. They're just so crazy.
A lot of Volvos in my family.
When Tommy was born, our first son, that was the first car we bought, was a Volvo XC90. And it was a tank.
Yeah. So when I was 17, I took a left turn. I was driving a Volvo. That's why I was confused about like my first car, because this was the first car I was driving. But I'm guessing it was a family Volvo. I don't think it was my Volvo. Regardless, you know, like you turn left on a green lane, like on a green light, turn left type thing. I couldn't see the incoming lane because it was blocked by another car. And so I never made that mistake again. And I turned left and there was like a truck right there going like 40 miles an hour. So it hit me at, you know, like T-boned me at who knows how fast. But that Volvo was so smart. Like it only deployed the airbags on the whole, you know, right side of the car because, you know, it knew where it was getting hit from. One side of the Volvo afterwards, because we went and saw it at the junkyard. Half of it was completely, like the part that got hit, completely totaled. Like didn't even look like a car. The other side, completely fine. Yeah, Volvos are safe.
Yeah, they make a really safe and a really good car.
Thrilling announcement, friends. My EMF blocking product line is finally here, and I'm going to tell you how you can get 10% off. Did you know that EMFs are considered a type 2B carcinogen by the IARC? They are linked to so many health issues, including headaches, migraines, fatigue, and even potential fertility issues. Thankfully, there are a lot of ways to reduce your exposure, and one of the best ways is to not use Bluetooth AirPods. And also, do not put your phone by your head. In fact, did you know that if you look in your iPhone, go to the legal section, and then RF exposure, Apple literally suggests that you use hands-free options like speakerphone, headphones, or other similar accessories to reduce your exposure to EMFs. Yes, it says this in your iPhone. And here's the other thing. Even wired headphones, being digital, can conduct EMFs into your head. That's why I made Avalon X EMF-free air tubes. They're basically like your normal wired headphones, but they turn into analog closer to your ear, so it stops transmission of EMFs into your head. I'm launching with black ones and rose gold. You can use adapters to make them fit any phone. And the reason this launch took so long, we're talking actually years, is because I was so neurotic on getting good sound quality. I cannot even tell you how many different prototypes I tried, but we finally have them and you can get them now. Go to AvalonXEMF.us and use the code Melanie Avalon to get 10% off. That's AvalonXEMF.us with the coupon code Melanie Avalon to get 10% off. That link will actually redirect to my partner's website at Shield Your Body, and that coupon code Melanie Avalon will get you 10% off site-wide for all of their EMF blocking products, including my air tubes. AvalonXEMF.us with the coupon code Melanie Avalon for 10% off.
Tangents. Okay, sorry. What's the next one?
All right. The next one is the Wendigo.
What is the Wendigo?
The Wendigo is like a cross between the Skinwalker and the werewolf, except creepier and uglier. If you Google it, you'll see what I'm talking about. It basically looks like an anorexic, hypermuscular deer or moose.
Wendigo. Okay. It's one of those. Yeah, it reminds me of like a Great Dane.
Yeah, like a Great Dane with huge claws and horns,
which always creep me out. Yeah, with yeah. Okay. Yeah, this one's up. This is number two for me, and this might be number one.
This thing is creepy.
This might be number one, actually. This looks scarier than the dog man.
Yeah. Just because it's like all bones, you know?
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, it's kind of like the alien and yeah, it's like a Great Dane meets the alien in the newest Alien, Romulus, and meets a deer. I mean, a
Like a moose.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's got a big antlers.
Like it meets a reindeer.
Yeah, reindeers. That's the way to say it. Yep. I mean, this thing is just nutso creepy looking, right? But beyond that, so it was well known by the Algonquin tribe of the Northeast. So like, think of New York State, which, by the way, has the largest natural forest of any country, of any state in the country. So like, you think of like Yosemite, well, if you go to upstate New York, it's even bigger. It's just a vast amount of wild woods. But the Algonquin folklore basically said that this was an evil spirit that had insatiable hunger for humans. Now, the other thing is, in the modern era, they had this thing called Wendigo psychosis, which is symptoms as intense craving for human flesh.
Awesome. Yeah.
So these things, like Melanie said, they look like if you took a giant moose, made it anorexic, and then made its horns look demonic, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of this one.
Yeah. Not good. So it often came prior to winter and starvation, and that's what it's associated with, is like starvation and greed.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Yeah.
Any other states?
The creature of the land beyond the lakes.
The Great Lakes?
These lakes are not your typical lakes.
Okay.
So the land between the lakes is actually territory between Kentucky and Tennessee.
Oh, this is my town. Growing up.
This is your town, Mel. This is where you grew up. So on the land between the lakes is essentially this like peninsula, for lack of a better way to describe it, between not really lakes, they're actually rivers, but they're very, very, very slow moving rivers, right? So the LBL, if you say LBL, you're talking about the land between the lakes, which is between Kentucky and Tennessee. And on this land between the lakes are unbelievable sightings of all types of cryptid. But the most common is a werewolf, not the dogman. Let's go back to that. Remember, the dogman doesn't look like a werewolf. It looks like Anubis. But in the land between the lakes, it looks like a dogman. 8 feet tall, giant muscles, human hands with giant fingernails, but the feet are dog feet, so they bend in the opposite direction and have that paw look with giant quadriceps. That's the most commonly sighted cryptid on the land between the lakes, is this massive werewolf with a human upper body, lightly covered in hair, except for the face, which is looks like a giant wolf, but, quote, with more teeth than seems possible to fit in its mouth.
I wonder why I have not heard of this at all. And that's my territory.
Well, again, like, who's going to be like, hey, I saw a giant werewolf with 50 teeth in its mouth. Yeah, good for you. Get on your meds. Like, honestly, it takes guts to come out and say something. Like, if you've experienced this, it kind of takes guts to come out and say it. Especially in like a small town in Tennessee.
Yeah. I just feel like I would have heard of it before, but creature of the land beyond the lakes. Any more?
I've got two more and then we're done. All right. So back to West Virginia, we also have the flannel man.
The flannel man?
The flannel man.
Okay. Is it a man wearing a flannel?
Yes. It's this big hunky jock.
Oh, okay.
He's wearing a flannel shirt with a beard. He looks like Grizzly Adams. You know who Grizzly Adams is?
No, I know the name.
Huge popular show from the 70s, right? Where this guy lives with the bears in Alaska, right? So this guy looks like that. He's got a flannel shirt. He's fit. He looks like what was that commercial for not Bounty, but the other one, like the big country paper towels guy. He looks like that. Big, muscular, hulking dude. In this flannel shirt and jeans and boots, right? But two things are odd with this guy. The first is his face is never visible. It's always blurry. The second is he has saved dozens of miners in the coal mines of West Virginia.
Oh, wow. He's nice. He's helpful.
He's a benevolent, nice entity, yeah.
Well, that's great.
So there were these coal miners in West Virginia that had been trapped in by a landslide or faulty mine shaft. And this guy shows them the way out, the Flannel Man. They literally escape to the Flannel Man, and they talk about it. Of course, it's, you know, suppressed. Good luck finding it. But yeah, they did that. But they could never see his face, which is odd, right? So they saw like this charismatic, tall humanoid in this appropriate flannel jeans boots, but they couldn't see his face.
But he gets the job done.
But he got the job done. He saved them. And that comes up a number of times. So apparently the Flannel Man, if I had to give him a good or bad rating, I'd say he's a 9 out of 10 on the good scale.
Our first one, right? Everything else was either bad or like neutral.
Yeah. Our first one that's like more tipping towards good.
Okay. Nice.
So there's some good entities out there.
Nice, nice. What's the last one?
This is the Native American lore of the little people.
The little people?
The little people. Now, the little people can be either good or naughty. So the little people are basically exactly what I'm saying. They literally look like a human in every aspect, except they're like 2 feet tall. So like, imagine you take yourself and you just convert it into a 2 foot Melanie. That's a little person. And what these little people do is they are able to transport between dimensions or portals or worlds, as the Native American lore suggests. But sometimes they're up to no good or mischief, right? So they'll like take your car keys and they'll hide them in a tree, or they'll hide them at the back of the yard. They don't necessarily like do destructive stuff, but just mischievous stuff.
So they're kind of, I feel like there's like multiple categories here. There's like the dark, evil, not good, the kind of like ominous, don't really go there ones, then the neutral, mischievous, like these, and then the good.
Yeah, I think if you were to categorize these into three things, you'd have pure evil, you know, in between, like Sasquatch is, there are accounts where Sasquatch helps people, right? So that's kind of in between. Wolfman is always evil. Wendigo, Skinwalker is always evil. Wolfman, always evil. So like there's this graduating scale from pure evil to like benevolent.
Man, who knew there were so many things out there that we need to be scared of?
And I guarantee you there's someone listening to this right now that has four other like things. Like there's the Ohio Grassman, which is essentially like a Bigfoot-like creature. But each state sort of has its own nickname for these things. So like in Ohio, it's called the Grassman. In Arkansas, it's called the White Fang. But these things are kind of everywhere. The last thing I'll just mention briefly, because there's very little to find, is the Jersey Devil. So
No. That one should be its own thing. That one's pretty famous.
Well, there's just not a lot on it though, Mel. Like I tried to look it up and like there's not a lot of sightings, but the New Jersey Devils, the hockey team, is named after the Jersey Devil, which is supposedly this horse-like winged creature that looks like a dragon and a horse combined.
Oh my goodness. The description on Wikipedia is so long. The common description is that of a bipedal kangaroo-like or wyvern-like creature with a horse or goat-like head, leathery bat-like wings, horns, small arms with clawed hands, legs with cloven hooves, and a forked or pointed tail. That is so specific. With a strange elongated body and a thick tail.
That's why I didn't want to get into it. It's just sort of like, it's so much. It would take hours to dissect.
We should do this as that episode, because there's the whole thing with the Leeds family.
Yeah, the 13th kid, she cursed them, etc. Yeah.
Yeah, we should do an episode on this, I think.
Well, audience, let us know if we should do an episode on just the Jersey Devil. But you've gotten a great sample for all the cryptids in the U.S. And there are more, but these are the top 12. So, Mel, I got to tell you, like when I started this whole topic, I was sort of skeptical about like what else was out there. But the more you look, the more you're like, oh, huh, maybe there are these things out there.
Definitely a lot of weird stuff going on. It's hard to believe that out of every sighting of every creature possible, that every single one was, that's millions, maybe, probably. If you like added up every creature and all the sightings, is it like every single one of those was just like looking at a shadow wrong or like seeing stuff in your head?
And add on to that, that many of the people that report these sightings are like avid hunters who've been hunting bear and moose and goats and deer their whole lives. So they know the outdoors. Like, these are not unexperienced people. We're experienced, I should say.
Well, thanks for gathering that wonderful buffet of scary things out there.
Yeah, I won't sleep much tonight, but it was fun.
Same as last week, Lizzie Borden. Next week, we have something fun. I'm prepping it. I haven't told you what it is.
I know. I'm excited for the surprise.
It'll be a fun little guessing game that we can play as well.
You know I'm good at that.
Yep. Well, thank you so much. That was super fun.
Yeah, I had a really good time preparing this. Also terrifying, but good.
Yeah. A lot of potential rabbit holes you could go down with all these different things.
Oh my God. You could spend days on every creature I mentioned. You could spend days.
Listeners, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. As a brief reminder, our winner this week of AvalonX Magnesium 8 is Edith Susan on Apple Podcast. Send a screenshot of your review to contact@mindblownshow.com and we will send you a bottle of AvalonX Magnesium 8. And I think that's all the things. Anything from you, Scott, before we go?
No, I can't wait to hear what the next week holds, Mel.
Me too. Well, I will talk to you next week.
All right. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for joining us on the Mind Blown podcast. Don't worry. Your brain can store about 1 million gigabytes of data. That's enough memory to record continuous TV shows for over 300 years. That said, psychology suggests that your memory is actually just your memory of your last memory, leading to a process called memory distortion, where your memories change over time. If you're enjoying the show, remember to subscribe and write a brief review in Apple Podcasts. And definitely let us know what you find most mind-blowing.